City. Mr. Medlock has designed a number of houses in Columbia County and in Eastern Long Island. He recently completed his first passive house just outside Hudson in the town of Clawbrook, which relies on, well, a passive house. Let's start there. A passive house is a very well-insulated, virtually airtight building that is primarily heated by the sun and the people living in it, according to Mr. Medlock. And the house does not rely on external technologies like photovoltaics, wind turbines, or solar thermal hot water systems. Instead, its high performance is almost entirely a function of its design. Hello, Dennis.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Well, we want to know all about the house. The house is a three-bedroom, two-bath house, around 1,568 square feet, if information on the internet is correct, not on your site. What does it cost to build a house like that? Is the price comparable to a conventional house?
It is. We found it's the same cost per square foot as a custom-built house. Now, a custom-built house does cost more to build per square foot than an already built house, a conventional house. But we have not found that it costs any more to achieve a passive house than it would cost us to build a typical custom-built home.
I see. And did you build the house on spec, or was it built for a specific owner?
Well, we were hired by a builder, Bill Stratton of Stratton Building Company, and he built it for either him and his wife or to sell, depending on whether his own house or this house will sell first. But it was a good opportunity for him and his crew to pursue a vision of their own, which was to build a high-performance house.
And so he had the property, and you came and sited the house on the property in such a way as to take advantage of the natural free solar heating and so on.
That's right. He purchased the property, but he purchased the property specifically with building this house in mind. And he purchased a lot at Clawbrook Homestead, which is a conservation subdivision in Clawbrook, New York.
I see. So there's a fair amount of land around the house?
Yes, this house is on a 7-acre lot, and there are large parcels surrounding it, and then right across the road is another conservation subdivision, both of which we master plan. So there's a lot of open spaces and nature walks that surround the house, and that suits the house.
And the materials, the building materials, were they anything special, or is it just that there's more insulation, something like that?
Well, they're special because they're high quality, but they're readily available. And this is sort of like a timber frame house, where the structure is like a timber frame that is similar to what barns would use to build. And then layered on the outside of this timber frame are these extra deep insulated panels, and completely surrounding the house is insulation panels that achieve almost an R60 rating, and compared to a conventional house, that's almost 50% better.
Now, on your website, which is HudsonPassiveProject.com, there are photographs of the house being built. And the roof panels, for example, look very thick, maybe 8 or 10 inches thick. Is that correct?
They're 12 inches thick. That's how thick they are. That's correct, yeah.
And so those sort of fit between the ceiling and a conventional roof?
No, those panels make the walls, and they're called structural panels because it is actually the structural wall, and they're attached to the outside of the frame, the timber frame, and so they act as the inside wall and the outside wall, and the insulation in between all come prefabricated in a panel.
And then there's a sort of stone exterior?
Yes, and then we built a stone wall to clad the structural insulated panel. But honestly, the stone is for decorative purposes. The 12-inch insulated wall is all that's needed to achieve the energy performance. The reason that we chose stone is because it suits the character of the region, and it's very reminiscent of the original Dutch farmhouses, the oldest Dutch farmhouses, and it's quite remarkably similar to old pictures we found of old stone Dutch farmhouses.
Hi, Dennis. It's Anne Forbes Cooper here. How many of these houses have you built?
Well, we have built quite a number of passive solar houses, and this is the next evolution of passive solar houses, and this is the first we've built, and it's the first certified in New York State. It's only the 11th certified in the United States.
And what's the potential, or what's the market for a house like this?
Well, this particular house was, the target market for this particular house was the person that is more interested in building a home than buying a home, a person that's interested in building a state-of-the-art green home. That's and one that can achieve the highest efficiency. So this particular home is targeted for the custom home buyer.
So each house has to be custom built?
In this technique, the house needs to be built specifically for the site, but that means if you have a community of homes, they would all be designed for that location. So it isn't that every home on every lot would need to be different, but you would design each community to respond to the site, which is the sun, the way the sun hits the land, the way the breezes cross the land, the temperature, obviously, of the land, all of the climatic data that is relevant to that particular location.
And could you have one of these houses in a city?
Oh, yes. And in fact, we're working on retrofitting townhomes in Brooklyn using these same techniques. They have different results, but the techniques, the fundamentals are the same for new construction as well as retrofit.
And retrofitting is something that's not that difficult, is that correct?
Well, it isn't difficult considering that when homes are substantially improved in the city, generally they have windows replaced. Generally they have insulation that has been redone. Generally they have their basements so that they're drier. So generally what you do on almost every surface is what we do. It's just that we do it a little differently and with great care for the way it's installed so that the home is as airtight as possible.
Now this particular house has a lot of windows, I mean practically an entire wall of windows on the south, and it seems as though the north side has considerably less natural light coming in. Is that true?
That's true. The house, the locations of the windows are determined by two things. One is the preference of the homeowner, if you would. First you would start out like you would with any house, saying, I have a preference for windows on a certain side of the house. And then you write down what your preferences are. But then you go back and forth between your preferences for views to back and forth to computer modeling to determine what is the maximum heat gain that you can get from the winter sun while minimizing the heat gain that you get on the summer sun. So it's a trial and error process. You design the house, you know, with the window locations that you prefer, but then you go back and forth with computer modeling to refine the exact locations and size of the windows to maximize the building performance.
Now, is that something you do in any house, or is that specific to a passive house like this?
In any house, we do it a little bit more intuitively. From years of working with passive solar houses, we can determine without a computer which way to face windows that would maximize heat gain and minimize heat loss. But passive house techniques have been so refined that you can push that to the extreme and very, very precisely specify the optimum window at layout and size and location.
And there must be some kind of a backup heating system. For the worst winter days, and suppose you have no sun at all, do you have some heating system?
Oh yes, you have a heating and cooling system, and it's in basically. What happens is these systems run so infrequently, but they work just like a normal heating and cooling system in the sense that a little bit of heat will come in each day in the winter, not the regular amount. In fact, only 10% of the heating, the mechanical heat will be used during the regular course of the winter. Of a conventional house. And the same thing in the summer. Just a tiny bit of cooling will come in during the course of the hottest days of summer. Again, only about 10% of what a conventional house, air conditioner, if you would supply.
And did you actually operate the house this winter? I mean, do you have the figures now of what it actually costs, say, to heat it for a month?
We use the house all winter. We have not had a family live in the house yet. But what I can tell you is that we use the house all winter, and we did not turn the heat on up through the middle of February, and the temperature did not fall below 63 degrees with no heat on through the middle of February.
Hard to beat that.
Yeah.
It's impossible to beat. I mean, the performance of these passive house building sciences have been pushed to the limit and for practical purposes. And it's been such a rewarding experience. I've been very proud of the passive solar houses I've designed before, and we've accomplished 25-35% savings. And been very proud of that, and that's about the typical savings of LEED certified buildings. But with passive, now we've accomplished 90% energy savings for heating and cooling. That's a completely different ballgame.
Is there a mass market application for this? I mean, if it's such a great idea, shouldn't everybody be moving towards this?
It is a great idea, and it's a very young idea, and whole nations are moving toward this. The new building codes of many European nations are moving toward this way of building, and it all took root in Germany. A lot of these ideas started out here in the United States in the 70s. And there was a few components that we did not have available to us until the late 90s. And in Germany, they started a market or industries to make some of these components. And they have now about 30,000 buildings in Germany well, achieve these results.
30,000?
30,000.
Wow, wow. The design of this house is rather simple, straightforward, kind of box, as it were. Are you, and you've done a lot of houses with quite elaborate wings and extensions and shapes and so on. Is that something you're able to incorporate in this kind of a design?
You are able to do anything in this design in the sense that you can start from any inspiration. What you then do is test it against this program, this computer modeling, to see what kind of efficiency you're getting from each of five different aspects. The first aspect of the design that helps the most is for it to be a compact shape, meaning that if it is not a shape that is sprawling in the sense that there is wings, as you said, in every direction, the most efficient shape is a compact shape. And then there's four other components that you have to work with. And so if you're less efficient in your shape, you have four other components to maybe be more efficient with. So it is a good start in a design like this to have a more regular compact shape. The other interesting thing about passive design is the larger the compact shape, the easier it is to accomplish these performances, meaning that a large school building is easier to build to these standards than a tiny cottage.
Now you have set up a sort of online and print magazine called The Good Home devoted to this topic now, I believe.
Well, actually, we started with The Good Home. We called it The Greater Good Home because I published a book years back called The Good Home, and we said when we were exploring these ideas and looking for someone to partner with, we said, well, let's put out a magazine, it's kind of like a newspaper, called The Greater Good Home. And the purpose of putting it out there was to raise awareness of what we were learning and to find people that would partner with us in this project. And that attracted NYSERDA, which is New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. That attracted them to our project, and they helped pay for the building scientists that we collaborated with. And then after NYSERDA came on board, we attracted Stratton Building Company. So the paper came first.
I see. And I think you had a question about how does the cost sort of work out over a period of time?
Yes, how long do you actually have to, I mean, first of all, how much would I know you mentioned how much it was worth in square feet earlier on, but can you put a sum, a figure on it, how much this house would cost, and how long would you actually have to live in the house before you made it worthwhile?
Right. Well, the price varies from category to category in the sense that a less expensive home to build, just conventionally, they say at most it's a 5 to 10% upcharge for the extra insulation that you would need and the extra labor that's involved. But I build custom-built homes, and custom-built homes you pay a premium just out of the gate to build a custom-built home, and we found there was no upcharge. And that's because what we would normally spend on the mechanical systems for central air conditioning or radiant heat floors, especially a custom built green home, now if you start adding the cost of geothermal wells, or solar panels, if you have any of those components, it's even less expensive than a custom green home. So for clients that come to us and want low energy or green homes, in fact, we can tell them this is a less expensive option. The payback is immediate. I don't know how you explain to people the payback for deciding to build a home versus buying a home. I think you might explain it over the course of many things, not just energy consumption. For example, a passive house has a much higher indoor air quality than a conventional house, so perhaps there's savings due to health. Also, they are easier to maintain because the air tightness of the house means they're higher resistance to mold and mildew and moisture. So there's a lot of ways that the investment in the higher performance house pays back.
Does that airtight quality make it seem close or stifling or anything like that?
No, because it is only airtight when the windows are closed and the door is closed, and that's when most people think that that their house is closed. And so most people don't realize that in a regular home, even when you close your windows and doors in winter, there's a lot of cold air rushing through, almost enough cold air coming in those cracks that surround the windows and doors. It's as if you really haven't closed all the windows and doors. When you close the windows and doors in a passive house, they're really closed. And that means that you're not getting any drafts whatsoever. When you have nice weather, you just open the windows and doors just like you do in a regular house. So there's no difference in the way you use a passive house versus a conventional house. The difference is that you're able to use less energy because you don't have a drafty house. And the same thing works in the summer. You get a lot of heat gain from drafts and from poorer performing windows. You get a lot of heat gain, so your air conditioner is working hard, not just to keep your house cool, but also fighting against hot air coming in from the outside and fighting against hot sun that's coming inside. So there's no difference. It's just that the air tightness of it is helping it perform better.
And when they certify, I suppose there are there are a number of different criteria that must be met to get this passive certification.
It's actually quite simple. It's much simpler than these other programs that are out there, such as Energy Star or LEED. And LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, because it specifically focuses on energy consumption. And once you have designed it and the computer modeling demonstrates that how much energy you're going to use, the only test is a test to be certain that the house is built in such a way that it is virtually airtight. And that's a simple test. It's called a blower door test, and they basically hook up a big fan to your front door, and they blow air in and they suck air out, and they see how many times in an hour all the air in the house will change over. And if it changes over a lot, that means there's a lot of drafts. And if it hardly changes over in an hour, that means it's virtually airtight.
Are you getting inquiries from people now that you've finished this house and it's getting somewhat known? Are people asking whether they can consider such a thing?
We are definitely getting the response that we expected, which is great interest in what we have accomplished, but people not certain if, something as innovative and new, as this is something that they're ready to take on for themselves. And that has to be expected. Whenever you have something that is this unique and this innovative, it has got to be expected that people would be cautious.
They think there's a catch somewhere.
There's a catch somewhere. That's what they think. But, I mean, this is, I've been designing home for 25 years, and I can tell you there's no catch here. It is just the culmination of understanding what really matters for energy performance. So what we actually are doing is incorporating these techniques behind the scenes. So even if you come to me and you say, you know, I want to design a custom house, and you don't want to talk about a passive house, you don't have to. It's these techniques are techniques that we have now been incorporating just as a matter of course of making sure that we're continuing to build the state-of-the-art homes that can be built today.
Is there anything else you would like to tell our radio audience?
Well, I mean, I definitely suggest that they could stay in touch with the Hudson Passive Project. We are trying quite often to hold open houses and so that people could see the house firsthand. They can also stay in touch with Stratton Building Company if they are interested in building a house themselves and want to talk to a builder who's had hands-on experience. He's based in Chatham, New York. And certainly they should feel free to contact our office at DennisWedlick.com. And that's meaning people that are in the industry too. We really do want to advocate this for the whole industry, and we've done this project so that the whole industry can benefit from the experience that we've had.
Well, I look forward personally to being at one of those open houses.
Me too.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, I mean we're moving in is what we say now. We've just finished putting up the last railing, and we're laying down the seed for grass, and so by this summer we should be open for business.
Great. Thanks so much, Dennis.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Dennis.
Well, thank you, and I'm really, really very happy that you allowed me to talk about this project. It's our pride and joy.
Thank you.